All right, Hawks fans and HoopBall fans, we have a special HoopBall promo. This is big, real big, like Manny Fresh, house real big, car real big, daddy. Anyway, before I start singing and dancing in the booth to a New Orleans classic, this is a huge week for everyone at HoopBall because all of our 2020-2021 NBA season products are finally for sale. These HoopBall products are the best in the business, so listen up. Here's what's out. The Draft Guide. This is our flagship, our shining beacon like Superman. The most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy sports. Our guys went 400 players deep again this year. A future access pass to the Brewski 150 is also out. If you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, you need to know now. It's the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for the last decade. Decade. And new for this year, HoopBall is unveiling our new monthly membership plans. I'll try to keep this part short as much as I can. We have the Fantasy Pass, which includes the Draft Guide, the Brewski 150, and also the new DFS Pass. And all of our in-season premium tools. The DFS Pass is also available on its own, if that's your thing. We have the new Wager Pass for our sports bettors out there who want picks and analysis. And we have the HoopBall 360. The sucker has all of the stuff above, plus even earlier access to the Brewski 150. So head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBall Fantasy on Twitter now, right now. Like, go on Twitter right after you hear this to learn more and get yours today. If you want to succeed in sports betting in your fantasy basketball leagues this year, this is a no-brainer. Again, go to Twitter right now at HoopBall Fantasy or go to hoop-ball.com and get right today.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Plays it into Trey. 2 seconds wide. Trey Slaughter. Good! With 0.1! And the Hawks are going to win this game. Shot clock at 5. It's poked away. Cam comes up with it. And stops it. Came up shy. Another lob. Collins up high. Picked up by Tatum. Slaps in. Can't get it. Kevin lets it fly. Swish!
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Hello and welcome back to HoopBall Hawks, the show here on the HoopBall Network that is taking flight. We cover everything regarding the Atlanta Hawks. I'm your host, Brad Harden, recording live from sunny Atlanta, Georgia, recording this the day after the huge bounce back win up in Brooklyn to split the series in the Big Apple 1-1, which is absolutely huge going forward for the Hawks. Last night's win moves the Hawks to 4-1, and they're currently tied with several teams with having the best record in the NBA right now. Again, it's early, but it's a great start for this Atlanta Hawks team. Fans should be excited, and the Hawks continue to open people's eyes around the league as to how good the Hawks can be this year and going forward for years to come. After winning last night, John Collins said that he hopes that this win proves that they are serious contenders in the Eastern Conference and proves that they are not jokes. The Respect Tour, as I said before, leaves Brooklyn, comes back for a home stretch here in Atlanta, which starts tonight when the Hawks take a floor against the Cleveland Cavaliers, another team that they went 0-for last year. And I will talk about that matchup with Cleveland after recapping the Brooklyn game, and we will get into the game last night. But first, a plug for my bookie. If you like losing money, turn this off right now. But if you love free bands, just like Super Future, then keep listening. Sports betting is getting huge across the nation, and all of my homies love to bet on games. There are a bunch of sites out there for sports betting, but all of my homies love my bookie. Why? because it's so easy to use. And since y'all my homies too, I'ma plug you. All my homies listening right now can sign up for MyBookie with the promo code HOOPBALL to unlock a 100% deposit match bonus. 100%, just like an A+ in school. Hopefully you got them, but if not, this your chance to get 100%. You like playing blackjack? There are some very fun and free blackjack tournaments, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There is so much that you can do on MyBookie, and the best thing is that no cash is required to enter, and you can win up to $100 in daily challenges and up to $1,000 in weekly tournaments. So you want a chance at free cash money? Then again, my homies, sign up with the promo code HOOPBALL to unlock a 100% deposit match bonus and try to score some. In the words of Future, like I said earlier, free band, free band. All right, and we are back. Keys to the game last night, after dropping the first game 145-141, I wanted to see the bench outplay the Nets bench. In the first game, the Nets bench almost doubled the score of the Hawks bench and outplayed them throughout the game. I wanted to see the reverse of that last night. It was Bogey the other night, and with Rondo and Gallo out, who is going to be that person to step up? And I think we have some likely candidates that I will get into when I talk about the stats for the Atlanta Hawks. I wanted them to continue to limit scoring and transition for the Nets. I wanted to see them limit their own turnovers. I wanted to see them force turnovers, win the rebound margin, get stops on the defensive end, which did not happen in the track meet on Wednesday night. I wanted them to limit Joe Harris, who really lit them up in the first game with 23 points and shot 6 3-pointers on 8 attempts. I wanted them to get physical with him. As I said before, he was one of the X factors for the Nets. I wanted to see late game execution and then close out down the stretch to hopefully get them to win. And as I alluded to, who was going to step up, I wanted to see Hunter and Herter be more engaged on the offensive end. And it will take everyone for the Hawks to win the game last night. And boy, did they have all hands on deck and some big performances last night for some players. The injury report going into last night's game, Trae Young came in with right calf soreness. He was available. DeAndre Hunter came in with right knee soreness, and he was also available. Those who were out last night, Tony Snell again, Onyeka Okongwu, Rajon Rondo with left knee soreness, Chris Dunn undergoing arthroscopic knee surgery, and Danilo Gallinari, who sprained his right ankle in the game on Wednesday. He was ruled out. Starting lineup for the Hawks last night, Trae Young at the 1, Cam Reddish at the 2, DeAndre Hunter at the 3, John Collins at the 4, and Clint Capella at the 5. Going into the game flow, the Hawks again will start off fast in the first quarter, which has been a theme for them in this early part of the season. They have gotten out 2 leads, executed at a high level on the offensive end to start games, and really puts pressure on the other team to defend and make shots. And the Nets were really feeling that pressure early on last night, as they were cold for a lot of the first half. And last night, it started off with DeAndre Hunter, and it ended with DeAndre Hunter, who had a big night. And he started off the game last night, getting to the rim. Trae Young was, again, conducting the offense to perfection, assisting on early baskets, getting his teammates like DeAndre Hunter, who I mentioned, Clint Capella, and Collins going early. And John Collins would start off hot last night in the first quarter, scoring 7 early first quarter points, which really just got the whole team energized, and they played great from wire to wire. They threw a bunch of different defensive looks at the Nets, really disrupting their flow with traps, zones, and just better attention to detail. Whatever they had as far as game plan going into the game defensively, they executed to a T, which they really spoke about in the post-game interview, whether it was Coach Roy Pierce, John Collins, whoever was interviewed after the game. They really talked about the attention to detail on the defensive end. They were protecting the paint last night, forcing a lot of mid-range jumpers or three-point shots. As I said before, the Nets were cold early in the game, and they started the game 1 for 16 from 3. They really turned up the pressure on the Nets, forced a lot of turnovers early. The Hawks really had active hands, jumping into passing lanes, which led to a lot of easy buckets for the Hawks. The entire team played with energy and effort the entire night. They just outworked and out-hustled the Nets all night long, and the Nets would never have a lead in this game. And also, as I mentioned before, the key of the bench outplaying the Nets bench, the bench for the Hawks outworked the Nets bench all night long, which was not always the case in the first game, as I mentioned. They really led the Hawks through the mid part of the second quarter, late third quarter into the early fourth, as the bench pushed this lead at one time to 20 points for the Hawks in the game. And then down the stretch, starters will come in, Trae Young, Collins, Hunter, Reddish, Capella. They all would execute late in the game on the offensive end, continue the defensive pressure and attention to detail, and they would close out this win, which was certainly something that they truly emphasized outside of defense, which led to the win. Closing out at the end of the game, which forced the Nets to wave the white flag. It had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant around the 2:30 mark to sit out for the rest of the game. The Hawks won last night, as I said before, 114-96. The Hawks shot 46.2% from the field and 41% from three-point land last night. They held the Nets to 40.7% shooting from the field and 18.9% shooting from the three-point line, which was a stark contrast from Wednesday's game where the Nets shot 54% from the field and 46% from the three-point line. The Hawks continued their hot shooting from the free throw line, shooting 85.7% from there. The Hawks would out-rebound the Nets again, 48-45, including 10 offensive rebounds for the Hawks, which is a stat that I always try to emphasize because that obviously leads to second chance, third chance opportunities, and that leads to more points. And when it comes down to it, you still got to score more points than the other team. And they did that certainly tonight. They had 24 team assists tonight, 6 shy of the 30 they had the night before, but still sharing the ball, being selfless, letting everybody get touches. Still great offensive execution again for the Hawks. They had 8 steals last night, and the Hawks themselves only had 9 turnovers last night. They continued to improve in that regard, and I love seeing that. And on the flip side, they forced 15 Brooklyn Nets turnovers last night and scored 18 points off those turnovers. As I said before, the defensive pressure really good last night. They lost points in the paint last night, 46-42, but they cut the Nets' number of points in the paint from game one from 62-46. Great job last night keeping the Nets out of the paint, forcing a lot of tough mid-range shots and contested three-point shots last night. The Hawks dominated second-chance points last night, which was a huge key for them, scoring 22 second-chance points last night. And going into the game last night, the Hawks are third in the NBA per game in that statistic at 15.8 points per game. As I said before, the Nets never led the game last night, and the Nets bench only scored 28 points last night compared to the 56 points the Nets bench scored on Wednesday night. The Hawks bench, again, stepped up in key moments throughout the game, outplayed, out-hustled, out-executed the Nets all night long. And even though they scored 2 points less than the Nets bench last night, they just outplayed them point-blank, period. Going into the stats for the Nets last night, Kevin Durant was their leading scorer again in 37 minutes, scoring 28 points on 10 of 21 shooting from the field and went 2 of 7 from the three-point line and also went 100% from the free throw line, 6 of 6. He added 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Kyrie Irving struggled again from the field shooting last night, scoring 18 points on 6 of 21 shooting from the field and 2 of 11 from three-point land, and he made all 4 of his free throw attempts. Kyrie also added 11 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Joe Harris still shot the ball well, but not as well as he did on Wednesday, as they limited him to only 12 points last night on 5 of 10 shooting, and he shot 2 of 5 from 3, adding 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. No one else on the Nets scored in double digits. A lot of people contributed for the Nets, but it was not near the offensive output last night as they did on Wednesday, which speaks to the defense of the Hawks. And if you're looking at the Nets, they really struggle to have a defensive identity about them. It is early. They have a new coaching staff. And obviously, KD didn't play last year. Kyrie played a little bit last year. You have the continuity of the players that were on the existing roster from the Nets the previous year, but they lose Dinwiddie, so they are trying to figure out themselves defensively. And with the loss of Dinwiddie, outside of, you know, LeVert, who can facilitate and get his shot at times, they don't have another person who can go and just get their shot outside of, you know, KD, Kyrie, and Joe Harris, who they don't necessarily have to run plays for, but he gets his shots up. So that's something that the Nets have to figure out going forward. But again, just like the Hawks, you don't want to overreact for the Nets side of things. It is early in the season, and I'm sure they're going to get that cleaned up. So on the flip side for the Hawks last night, leading scorer and one of the X factors for the Hawks last night was DeAndre Hunter, who scored 23 points on 9 of 10 shooting from the field and went 3 of 4 from the three-point line, also going 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He was confident all night, and he was on fire, and he looked to have a lot of fun last night. He added 6 rebounds and an assist, but he was great on the defensive end. Even though he didn't have a block or steal, it was still evident the effort and intensity that he had on the defensive end as he was guarding players on the Nets, challenging shots, forcing pass outs. And his energy and effort that he brought on the defensive end really helped him on the offensive end, kept him charged the entire night. And I loved seeing this from young DeAndre Hunter, who continues to show growth in year 2, along with all of the other counterparts of the Magic City Trio, aka the young wings for the Atlanta Hawks. In my question, it was between him and Clint Capella as the players of the game last night, even though there were also great contributions from the usual suspects. Trae Young scored 21 points last night on 7 of 21 shooting and went 3 of 8 from the three-point line. He added 7 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal, and a block, and he posted 3 turnovers last night. John Collins was hot again, being aggressive once again, came hot out the gate with 7 early first quarter points, and he upped his total last night to 20 points on 9 of 14 shooting and went 2 of 5 from the three-point line. He added 8 rebounds with 2 offensive rebounds, also 2 assists and a block. Only 3 fouls tonight, and I thought he was great on the defensive end. Again, aggressive and even putting down some flushes, including the off-the-glass alley-oop from Trae Young towards the end of the game where I was just like, sheesh, put a fork on them. They were done at that point. The Nets were done, and just his energy was just infectious. Clint Capella's energy was infectious. DeAndre Hunter, the whole team was just charged, geared up, and ready to go. And it showed from wire to wire. Cam Reddish scored 12 points. He got hot late in the game. He struggled for most of the game shooting as he went 3 of 11 from the field. Finished up 2 of 4 from 3 and went 4 of 4 from the free throw line. And that has been a theme as of late. Cam Reddish's ability to get to the free throw line, which shows maturation in his offensive game. As I said, even though he struggled from the field, the fact that he is trying to get to the cup and he's drawing fouls shows that he is more aggressive, more confident this year, and trying to still score points, even if it's from the free throw line and not obviously between whistles. He has gotten to the free throw line 14 times in the last 2 games, and that is something that I want to see him continue to build upon, especially when his shot isn't going down. But again, last night, he was great on the defensive end. Him giving effort on a defensive end really got him going later in the game offensively. He added 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and a steal to his totals last night. The other aforementioned X factor, as I said before, outside of DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella. His minutes were bumped up last night from 20 to 30 minutes. And as I said before, very, very effective for the Atlanta Hawks last night. Energizer Bunny as well. He scored 12 points on 6 of 10 shooting, added 11 boards, including 3 offensive rebounds. He also had 6 assists, which I've been talking about in past podcasts, that I think that his passing is very underrated. And we got to see that last night as he had a career high in assists. He dominated the paint, outperformed Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan. Combined, they outscored Clint Capella, but only by 1 point, which is doesn't speak well to how Allen and DeAndre Jordan play. But Clint Capella out-rebound both of them combined by 3 boards, and he out-assisted them. I liked when Capella was on the floor last night as he was continuing, you know, the trend of just being a presence in the paint, being in the right spots offensively. He just has a knack for just having the right spacing on the floor and being in a spot where he can be effective on the offensive end. I really liked seeing that from Clint Capella, and he's shown a little bit of that in a small sample size as he has been injured. But when he has been on the floor, I love how active he is around the rim, grabbing boards, trying to challenge shots on the defensive end, trying to just be a force there, and he's using that to be effective on the offensive end. So Clint Capella, we love to see that continue going into tonight versus the Cavaliers, which will have a very tough front court matchup going against Andre Drummond. We'll talk about that a little later. Kevin Huerter added 10 points off the bench on 4 of 8 shooting and went 2 of 5 from 3. He added 2 assists and was great on a defensive end last night. It was probably one of Kevin Huerter's best defensive games, in my opinion, as he had 4 steals. And one of the things that's been really developing outside of his confidence on the offensive end for Huerter is his off-ball defense. I thought it was really good tonight, and we got to see that with his ability to jump into passing lanes and how active he was with his hands on ball, off ball, it doesn't matter. So great job last night from Kevin Huerter. Bogey cooled off from the field last night, adding 7 points on 2 of 6 shooting from the field, and he went 1 of 3 from three-point land and added 2 boards and assist. Solomon Hill, a.k.a. Solo, added 6 points off the bench with 2 three-pointers, added 4 rebounds, 1 assist, a steal, and a block. Brandon Goodwin, I thought he had a good game facilitating, even though he only had 3 assists to go along with 3 points and 3 rebounds and a steal, but I thought he was really good in filling in for Rajon Rondo, who was out last night, and really managed the game well. And even John Collins gave him kudos for his play in the post-game interview. I liked what I saw from Goodwin. I know he's battling an injury right now, but playing through injury, showing his toughness, is showing his ability to execute on the offensive end and give effort on the defensive end. I like what I'm seeing from Mr. Goodwin off the bench. So takeaways from last night's game. I tweeted about this, and I'm going to mention this again. I kind of like staggering Capella and Collins' minutes, even though they do need to learn how to coexist on the court. And I thought at times on the floor, they definitely looked good last night as far as especially crashing the boards, getting second chance opportunities. But they're still trying to learn each other, learn where each other is effective on the floor when they're sharing the floor. And they're going to continue to try to work out spacing as the season progresses. And that just takes time and experience playing alongside each other. But as I said before, I did like what I saw from them when they were on the floor. But I liked at time when Coach Lloyd Pierce and the Hawks staff staggered their minutes where Capella was the leading 5, take them off, and then make Collins a small ball 5. I like those lineups because it gives them both free reign to just wreak havoc in the paint and both play with energy and effort. And you stagger their minutes, give them the rest so then they can close out games together. And when everyone's tired and the other team's tired, they can be a little bit more energized to close out games, crash boards, and get those second and third chance opportunities, get fouled and whatnot, or pass out to open shooters on the three-point line. I like to see that dynamic continue to develop. I thought offensive execution last night was great again for the Hawks, and they were killing the Nets on the pick and roll all night long and really attacking Kyrie Irving and exploiting him on the defensive end. And again, if they can continue to show the ability to execute on the offensive end at a high clip and then sprinkle in some of the pick and pop outside of the pick and rolls that they're already really good at, it will only help this offense even more. and it's hard to even say this, be even more potent than they are right now, because they are extremely lethal and they're the number one offensive team to this point. The defense last night, the attention to detail, the pressure they put on the Nets, active hands, jumping into the passing lane, forcing turnovers, the hustle, the effort, the different looks they threw at the Nets, everything was just great. I think this is the effort that they, I don't think, this is the effort I want to see game in and game out on a defensive end. As also, I mean, you can even say this, the cold shooting from the Nets definitely helped, but they had a clear game plan tonight of what they wanted to do defensively, and they executed it to perfection. I mean, anytime a team scores 145 points on you two nights prior, and then you respond by holding them under 100 points, you did what you had to do on the defensive end. And we already know, again, as I said before, the offensive execution on this team is great because the Hawks are a great offensive team. And we can already say that earlier in the season. And that is to be expected on the offensive end. But if we can get this defensive execution nightly, I think the comments that John Collins made about them potentially being a contender in the East sooner rather than later becomes more probable as the season comes on, if they're going to execute on the defensive end at a high clip like they did tonight. I think this gives them confidence in their coaching staff, the game plan, following the game plan, saying that, hey, if we pay attention to detail, do X, Y, Z on a defensive end, it's going to work. We can be dominant on that end. And that only just gives people confidence to just, hey, believe, buy in like Solomon Hill talked about. So that's something that I want to see as the season goes on, as this team gets healthier, as they continue to build continuity. This could happen. This could happen, especially when you get a Chris Dunn back, who we already know his calling card is defense. And you already have the, like David said, the reputable wing defenders in Hunter and Reddish who are growing game in and game out. John Collins has continued to grow on the defensive end. Capella getting settled with this team. He's already known as a good defender in this league. Again, it's only 5 games into the season, and you take it one game at a time, but truly the sky is the limit on both ends of the floor if they continue to buy in. I love how they closed out this game tonight. It was one of those things that I feel like once they did it once, they can do it again. They know that they can do it now. So as far as here on out, it's about being consistent. It's about when you have a 6, 7, 8, 9 point lead in the fourth quarter, doing the things possession by possession, which means executing on the offensive end and defensive end to do the right things to close teams out. And then you have to make this a habit, and then it becomes consistent, and then it becomes second nature. This is one I want to see them do night in and night out. They're probably going to have to do this tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are going to be scrappy and they're going to compete the entire time because they're young and they're hungry too. And we're going through growing pains. This will be another test tonight because we're still a young team. We still have to learn. We still have to continue to gain more experience in these situations. The vets have been there before, but until everybody has experienced it, they're not going to really know what to do until they're in it. They did it last night against the Nets. Let's see them continue to work and build upon that. And last takeaway, again, I think this is a great precursor into buying into a game plan and the series adjustments that will have to take place in a playoff situation. This had a game one, game two feel with being on the road. You have game one night, two nights later, you have game two. As we said, game one was a track meet. They went, looked at film, practice, looked at the adjustments they had to make on the defensive end, and they went out and executed the game two. And now in a playoff series, 1-1 going back home, you feel great. You have confidence, especially if the Hawks are, and most likely going to be, if they make the playoffs, a lower seed compared to who they're playing. This gives them confidence that, hey, game one, we have the offense to put up points. We can score on anybody. Executing the offensive end, feel them out when you're guarding them defensively, and then see what you can do better into the next game. And then, boom, execute that game plan. Go back home with the home crowd advantage, depending on obviously what it looks like when the playoffs happen this year. But, hey, it's just a little quiz, in my opinion. This is a great quiz that they took in past early in the semester to give them a taste of what it's going to be like when they take the final, which is quote unquote the playoffs or play-in game situation down the road. And this is great for this young team to pass with flying colors. So with that, we're going to get into a quick plug for ExpressVPN and then cover the Cavaliers and Hawks matchup. There are tons of VPN providers out there. You probably heard of a couple of them, and some of you may have even used a VPN before. Just like I do my research for all my shows to provide my listeners with the best Atlanta Hawks podcast out there, I like to do my research on my sponsors, and I only recommend brands to my listeners that I believe in. And I can say with full confidence that ExpressVPN is the best VPN on the market. Here's why. ExpressVPN doesn't log your data. Lots of really cheap or free VPNs out there make money by selling your data to ad companies. ExpressVPN developed a technology called Trusted Server that makes it impossible for their servers to log any of your information. Second is speed. Like Deion Sanders said, speed kills. But in this case, it does not kill your internet speed. I've tried lots of VPNs in the past. Many slow your connection down or make your device sluggish. I've been using ExpressVPN for the last few months, and my internet speeds are still blazing fast. Even when I connect to servers thousands of miles away, I can still stream HD quality videos with zero lag. The last thing that really sets ExpressVPN apart from other VPNs is how easy it is to use. Unlike other VPNs, you don't have to input or program anything. You just fire up the app, click one button to connect, and it's easy like T.I. song Be Easy and Trap Music. Whew, great album, underrated Atlanta classic. Anyway, it's not just me saying this. Wired, The Verge, CNET, and many other tech experts rate ExpressVPN as the number one VPN in the world. Of the world, Craig. So, protect yourself with the VPN that I use and trust. Use my link, expressvpn.com/hoopball today, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. 3 months! Good Lord. Again, that is expressvpn.com/hoopball. Visit expressvpn.com/hoopball to learn more. All right, and we are back. We're going to talk about tonight's matchup between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Atlanta Hawks. Quick turnaround for the Hawks as they fly back down here to Atlanta to take on a very scrappy 3-2 Cleveland Cavaliers team who were once undefeated in its early young season. Now they're in the midst of a two-game losing streak, and they look to snap that two-game skid. But under J.B. Bickerstaff, who is widely respected as a good young coach in this league, this is a team that will certainly come out ready to play and compete. The Hawks will certainly have to be ready as this Cavaliers team will look to start fresh and test the legs of the Hawks, who did play a game last night, where the Cavaliers do have a couple days rest. Early on in the season, the Cavaliers have shot well from the field at 47% from the field, and they've also shot well from three, just under 40% there, and they are fifth in the league currently in three-point shooting percentage. With Andre Drummond, as you can imagine, they rebound the ball well, they share the ball, block shots, and defensively they are eighth in the league in opponents' points per game. They guard the paint well, but are susceptible to giving up the three ball on the defensive side, which has become a strength for this year's reincarnation of the Atlanta Hawks. And as far as them offensively, they are 20th in points per game. So it will be about if they can score with this Atlanta Hawks team and can we keep them out the paint. And they're going to try to vice versa, keep us out the paint from initiating offense. So they have a young backcourt in Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, who have both come out much improved this year as they both have combined for about 44.8 points per game, 11 assists. and have both shown the ability to knock down threes more so than in years past. Garland, coming into the league, was known as a really good shooter. Sexton, not as much, but it shows that he has been working on that aspect of his game. And these two young guards are hungry to continue to improve game in and game out. And they will certainly put up a challenge against this backcourt for the Hawks, but they're going to have a challenge in their hands too, as they have to go against Trae Young and the Magic City trio, the young wings for the Atlanta Hawks. Andre Drummond has been a force in the paint early this season, scoring 18 points per game, adding 11 boards, 2.4 steals, some assists, and you already know he can block shots. And having JaVale McGee off the bench will certainly be a test for Capella, Collins, Fernando, and just how they got to compete and bang in the paint. And I would be interested in what type of lineup we're going to use to attack this Cavaliers team. Are we going to be bigger tonight? Are we going to go small ball and try to push the pace? We'll see what Coach Roy Pierce has up his sleeve as far as with the myriad of different lineups that we can throw at this team. And I did not mention Kevin Love in that front court for the Cavaliers, who will be out this game, along with the fifth pick in the NBA draft, the Atlanta native, who many people, including myself, were wanting the Hawks to draft, but he was selected. One pick, obviously, before Yoko Kongu. Isaac Okoro, who has been battling a foot injury, are amongst those who are listed out for tonight's game on the Cavaliers side, and I will talk about that here shortly. The injury report for the Hawks going into tonight's game, Brandon Goodwin was questionable, but Coach Roy Pierce said that he will be available for tonight's contest, which is great because Rajon Rondo is out again. Gallinari will be out again. Chris Dunn, Oyeko Okongwu, Tony Snell, the usual suspects, are all out for the Hawks. On the Cavaliers side, Kevin Love, as I mentioned, is out, along with Isaac Okoro, Dylan Windler, Matthew Dellavedova, and Kevin Porter Jr. for personal reasons with the death of a family member, and we send best wishes to Kevin Porter Jr. The Hawks will have the same starting lineup going into tonight. Trae Young at the 1, Cam Reddish at the 2, DeAndre Hunter at the 3, John Collins at the 4, and Clint Capella at the 5. The Hawks are a 5.5-point favorite tonight versus Cleveland, and I think it will be a tight contest, but I think the confidence from the last two games helped the Hawks pull this one out, and I project the score to be 116-103 to help the Hawks pull forward to 5-1 as their record. So when we come back, we will recap tonight's game, and we'll give another plug for Manscaped. Support from Hoopball Hawks comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. As we are in the holiday season, with all the shopping, chestnuts roasting on open fires, as Jingle Bells plays on almost every radio station, don't forget your jingle balls. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I am talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. We all know of a guy who had a tragic grooming story to try to impress his lady, or you personally, where you clipped the wrong thing and you start the Will Smith, see what had happened was, well, see, what should have happened was you copping Manscaped for your grooming needs. This revolutionary company has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has a proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer cuts on your nuts. And it's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trim, cut free, and smelling nice down there. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as your jingle balls. That's a technical foul! The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Yeah. Your jingle balls do stink. I don't care if you just showered. Speaking of sweaty, stinky jingle balls, I am thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keeps your balls from sweating, smelling, and sticking. And these products smell good, my friends. Good. Their manly scent is attractive and will help you set the mood, if you know what I mean. The perfect package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day long, baby. It's time to upgrade those used pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. So, 'tis the season to manscape. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, don't matter, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Your jingle balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the code HOOPBALL20. Clean up your jingle balls and I guarantee you will make the nice list this year for Christmas. All right, and we are back. And unfortunately, the Hawks drop a game tonight to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 96-91. This could easily be chucked up to a scheduled loss, as obviously the Hawks came off a win the night before to the Brooklyn Nets, traveled down to Atlanta, and had to play that same day. It happens, and it's something that the Hawks definitely have to prepare for as they go through the season, as this will not be the first back-to-back they have. Hawks would start off the game fast, as they normally do, putting up 36 first-quarter points. The Hawks averaged the most first-quarter points in the NBA in this young season, and that was a trend that would continue tonight, as they were hot from the field. But the Cavaliers did come to play as well, as I expect they would. Collins, Young, Capella, Hunter all got off to hot starts in the first quarter. Hawks were shooting the three-ball well, playing good defense, forcing turnovers, playing with energy, and competing on both ends. The Hawks did not commit a single turnover in the first quarter, and all seemed well. But that would slowly wane as the game would go on. They continued their good play in the second quarter on the defensive end, crashing the glass. The bench was coming in, and they were executing on the offensive end. And after halftime, it was a much different story. Shots were not falling. They were not getting the same fouls called in the first half. And their legs seemed to get heavier and heavier as the game went on. And I think the back-to-back was catching up to them as the game progressed. They looked a little winded, which was to be expected, as I said. But they only scored 3 points in a 5-minute and 30-second stretch in the third quarter. The bench did not provide the normal spark they did when they were in. And they just got colder and colder. And they looked a step slower throughout the game. The Cavs would play better in the third quarter, playing good on the defensive end, and the lead started to dwindle for the Hawks after an 18-7 run to close the third quarter for the Cavaliers. The Cavs would continue to compete and battle back throughout the fourth quarter until they took the lead and ultimately never relinquished that lead as the Hawks continued to be cold. The defense still looked step slower. They couldn't get stops. Mental mistakes occurred. Offensive execution lacked. The Hawks, who scored 36 points in the first quarter, as I mentioned, scored 56 points the rest of the night. And as I said, it was going to come down to the stops and offensive execution, and they just could not get it done. The Cavs played well in the second half, so you tip your cap off to them. But the Hawks just did not play well, did not have the same mojo, the same energy in tonight's game. The normal shots that would go in just weren't going in for the Hawks. The Hawks are now 0-4 in the last four meetings versus the Cavaliers. And I thought that the Hawks tonight, they played against the Cavaliers, but also played against bad officiating and fatigue, physical fatigue and mental fatigue. And they lost on all accounts. People took to Twitter to blame Coach Lloyd Pierce for tonight's loss. And I think that's just absolutely absurd. I mean, Lloyd Pierce can't suit up and go out there and play. Everything that happened tonight that caused the Hawks to lose had nothing to do with anything that Coach Lloyd Pierce did or did not do. They just ran out of gas, point blank period. It happens. So to blame Coach, I know he's going to take blame. He's going to take it on the chin. But for us as fans who watch the game to blame Coach Lloyd Pierce, that's just completely inaccurate. And he spoke to the team basically saying they just did not have the same competitive drive tonight. He said tonight, and I agree, we missed some bodies that were out due to injury. And this is a game in which you would have a lot of players play and you would spread the minutes out, especially with being a back-to-back. And you want to save the legs of the key players like the Trae Young, the John Collins, the Capellas, coming off injury and whatnot. This was the game where you would try to spread the wealth. And they necessarily couldn't do that with the full allotment of players that they have on the roster. But the Hawks do get a well-deserved rest day tomorrow as they will gear up to take on the New York Knicks on Monday night here in Atlanta. Getting into the team stats, once again the Hawks lose 96-91. Hawks shot 41% from the field and 34% from three. And in the second half, the Hawks shot 40% from the field and 33% from three after that hot start that I mentioned. The Cavs would shoot just under 42% from the field and shot an abysmal 24% from three, but still got the dub. Tonight, the Hawks struggled from the free throw line, shooting 52.6%, well below their season average, as they're easily in the mid to upper 80s from the free throw line. And I attribute that to just not having the same legs underneath them, and they weren't getting, you know, the same calls in the second half, as they only had two free throw attempts in the second half alone after going to the charity stripe 17 times in the first half. They out-rebounded the Cavs, which was a key for me, and had 15 offensive rebounds, so they definitely took the challenge of competing on the glass tonight against that really formidable front court for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But the Hawks did commit 22 turnovers tonight, which was a big key in the Cavaliers defeating us here in Atlanta. And all the turnovers were after the first quarter. As I mentioned, no first quarter turnovers. They would have 22 turnovers through three quarters. Yikes. A lot to clean up. I am certain that Coach Lloyd Pierce and the staff will watch film on the rest day. And they will go into Monday with a game plan for the Knicks and clean up the things that they did not do well tonight. 22 assists as a team tonight, but 14 of the 22 assists came from the second quarter through the end of the game. So they had 8 team assists in the first quarter. Great first quarter offensively, as I mentioned, and 14 the rest of the game. Certainly turned into more one-on-one ball, not as much ball movement. They were out of rhythm tonight, and once again, you credit the Cavs defense, but I definitely think fatigue played a factor in their lack of offensive execution tonight. The Cavs scored 52 points in the paint, which is a strength for them. We were good early on keeping them at the paint, but that really faltered as the game went on. Cavaliers bench would outscore the Hawks 34-30, and as the game progressed, the bench for the Cavs really outplayed the Hawks bench, and it was pretty evident, especially in that third quarter run and early in the fourth quarter. The Hawks at one point had a 15-point lead and ended up losing by 5, so a 20-point swing. It was a very winnable game tonight. Even with the mental mistakes, bad execution, and the heavy legs, it was still at one point a 3-point game, but just lack of execution down the stretch, and just they did not have the ability to close this team out, and the Cavs kept chipping away and ultimately got the dub. On the Cavaliers' side of things, it was a huge night, especially in the fourth quarter from Colin Sexton, who scored 27 points on 10 of 18 shooting from the field. He went 2 of 5 from the three-point line and hit all 5 of his free throws. He added 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 rebounds. The X factor tonight for the Cavaliers, in my opinion, was JaVale McGee off the bench, scoring 14 points, adding 9 rebounds, including 5 on the offensive end for the Cavaliers. He dished out 4 assists, added 2 steals and a block. Andre Drummond had a double-double tonight, scored 12 points and grabbed 11 boards, including 4 offensive boards. Larry Nance, although he had a poor shooting night, scored 9 points added 11 rebounds, including 4 offensive boards, posted 6 assists, 3 steals, and did a little bit of everything for the Cavaliers tonight, although his shot, as I said, was not falling. And then you have Dotson and Seti Osman off the bench hitting some big shots as well to help out this Cavaliers team pull out the win over the Hawks. On the Hawks side of things, as I said before, the offense certainly did not put up the numbers that they did in previous games, and no doubt it was the worst that the offense looked in this early part of the season, especially in the second half of this game. But dry spells will happen. You can't play perfect all the time. Then you'll chuck it up, you'll watch the film, you'll see what you can correct. The two leading scorers tonight for the Hawks were DeAndre Hunter and Trae Young, both scoring 16 points apiece. DeAndre Hunter continues his strong play in the early season as he shot 5 of 11 from the field and 2 of 4 from the three-point line and went 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He added 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. I thought DeAndre Hunter played well again. He continues his hot play on both ends of the floor. And I just love the development that DeAndre Hunter is taking here in the second year on both ends of the court. Trae Young shot 6 of 16 from the field, went 2 of 5 from the three-point line, and also went 2 of 4 from the free throw line. He dished out 10 assists, so another double-double for Trae Young. He grabbed 4 rebounds and added a steal. And Trae Young continues to break down the defense. He's really trusting his teammates, especially early on. He had 7 assists in the first quarter. Really got everybody around him going, and they were executing. And I thought that the shots that he missed tonight and some of the turnovers that he had were just due to fatigue. He just didn't have the same lift in his legs. He was trying to force things that weren't there. Just trying to make a play down the stretch, and it just did not happen for the Hawks. And he even just said that the team just, we were just out of whack tonight. That's what he said. And Coach Lloyd Pierce echoed those sentiments. John Collins did as well. And everybody has those nights. Everybody has those days where you're just out of whack. You go into work and just things are just off, and it just turns into a bad day. And some things are in your control. Some things are out of your control. So we'll move past it. I know the Hawks will move past it. Our fans will move past it because, hey, we have another game on Monday against the Knicks. Another opportunity to get better. Another opportunity to grow and continue to gel as a team. Clint Capela, another big night tonight for the big man who played in 31 minutes. He scored 16 points on 8 of 12 shooting from the field, missed all 5 of his free throws. In my opinion, that was the only negative in his game. He grabbed 16 boards tonight, including 8 on the offensive end. He added 3 steals and 2 blocks. I thought he protected the paint well tonight, and I think he's protected the paint well in the last 3 games he's played coming off an injury. He's certainly playing with a lot of energy, a lot of effort on both ends of the court, and just being aggressive, being a dog. And that is something that we didn't have in the early part of the season when he was out. We didn't feel like we missed it, but now that we have it, it's definitely an impact on the Hawks team. He's an absolute force on the glass. As I said, 16 boards tonight. And especially on the offensive end, as he said, grabbed 8 offensive rebounds and grabbed a high number of offensive rebounds the night before against Brooklyn. And Clint Capela, for me, is just becoming Mr. Right because he's always in the right position offensively. His awareness on that end of the floor is amazing. His spacing is great. He just knows where to be, where to get the misses, where to just fit where they will find him and give him easy opportunities around the rim. Clint Capela has just been great for this Hawks team early on. And we had our first John Collins to Clint Capela lob tonight. It looked good. They looked good again together on the floor, and they both looked good in their own regards when their minutes were staggered. If we can get more out of Bruno Fernando coming off the bench, who I was very disappointed in tonight. He did not play well, and I was looking for him to really step up in the game when the Hawks had a big front court matchup, talking about the boys over there in Cleveland. And it couldn't be all on JC and Capela. Fernando was going to have to come in and step up, and he did not tonight. John Collins, the other front court player for the Hawks, he cooled off his shooting tonight, scoring 10 points on 3 of 10 shooting, went 1 of 5 from the three-point line. He grabbed 4 rebounds, had 5 assists, and added a block. Didn't have the same energy tonight. Definitely waned as the game went on, and definitely attributed to the back-to-back, their first of the season. They will have to work through that as the season progresses. Cam Reddish, only had 4 shot attempts tonight, and he only made one of them, scoring 2 points. He grabbed 2 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. Worst game, in my opinion, of the early season for Cam Reddish, but I expect a bounce-back game, as he's shown an ability this year when he has games where he isn't playing his best. He normally plays well the next game. So rip the page, throw it, we'll move on to the next day, and I'm sure you're going to step up against the New York Knicks as he goes against his former Duke teammate, RJ Barrett. Kevin Huerter played very well off the bench tonight before leaving with an ankle injury, posting a double-double tonight, scoring 13 points on 5 of 11 shooting, went 3 of 5 from the three-point line, and grabbed 10 boards. We wish you a speedy recovery, Kevin Huerter, as you were a big impact, especially in the fourth quarter, knocking down shots, and he was the hot hand, and once he left, it turned to Bogey, who scored 11 points off the bench on 4 of 12 shooting and went 3 of 9 from the three-point line. Did not shoot well throughout the game, but really turned it on in the fourth quarter, trying to give the Hawks a chance at the end. But in the end, we could not execute down the stretch, and we ended up losing the game. And I thought Brandon Goodwin had another good performance off the bench tonight. He had 6 points, and he's getting better and better game by game off the bench, facilitating, playing with the bench, initiating offense for them, and trying to make plays on the offensive end, whether it's for himself, for his teammates, and just really controlling the tempo and the pace of the game. Brandon Goodwin was looking really good off the bench, and I thought he really stepped up with Rondo being out again with knee soreness. We'll talk about the positives as far as takeaways, because a lot of people can point to this game and throw a lot of negative things and comments out. I'm going to say the good. Hey, it's early in the season. The Hawks are still 4-2. Great start. Every game is a learning experience, especially when you have a young team. Tonight was a lesson of battling mental fatigue, battling physical fatigue, pushing yourselves when you think that you don't have more to give, and just forcing yourself to focus and continue to execute down the stretch and close out a game against an opponent in a winnable game. This was a learning opportunity. We did not succeed tonight. We will have plenty of opportunities throughout the season to correct this. We did it against a good opponent the night before, but failed tonight. As I said before, they're still young. Plenty of games to grow, learn, game by game, and they will have an opportunity to bounce back against the New York Knicks. Again, the offense is still great. They hit a dry spell tonight. They got away from some of the things that really gave them that great offensive rating that they have early on in the season. But they continue to move the ball. They continue to be selfless, have great off-ball movement, and get players clean looks. But you got to make those looks. At the end of the day, you have good days, you have bad days. And our offense, which was already very good in this early part of the season, will only get better. I like their pick and roll action. And I feel like it's been really tough for opponents to guard, especially the last 2 games, as the Cavaliers did struggle throughout most of the night with the pick and roll action until the end when the Hawks ran out of gas. And I think pick and roll will only get better as the more and more they run it, the more they execute. And they still have an opportunity to throw some wrinkles like a pick and pop game, which I've mentioned the last few episodes. The Hawks have shooters now. We have playmakers outside of Trae Young. We have a bench. We have players developing on the offensive end, i.e. the entire Magic City trio who are looking good early on in the season. There's ebbs and flows. There'll be good days and bad days, but they're growing game by game, and these are just growing pains, as I mentioned 2 episodes before, in regards to dropping the game to Brooklyn, where they did everything right and lose, and tonight they did a lot of things wrong, but still did some things good and lost, so you'll take the good with the bad and you'll move forward. The defense is playing better. I love when the Hawks have thrown out different looks like traps and throwing the zone. And the zone has led to creation of some turnovers in the last 2 games. And we still have players injured. We still have players who have not played for the Hawks. We still have young players who are buying in on defensive end. And everyone is slowing buying into defense as they've seen it work against the Brooklyn Nets, and I thought that they still tried to come out and play good defense tonight, even though the shots were not falling for the Hawks. It's all a work in progress, but I still see some positives even in a loss. So, as I mentioned, they'll have an opportunity to bounce back on Monday, and I will talk and recap the Knicks game on the next episode with Mr. ATL Player Development after the Knicks game, which should be a fun episode as he always has a lot of hot takes and sees things from a different perspective as he looks through a lens of player development, skill development, what little things in people's games are growing game to game to make this team ultimately better. That's his expertise, and we're excited to have him on to see what he thinks of his Hawks team. And if you love what you heard today, give us 5 stars, give us a good review, share it, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell your family member, tell your cousin, your partner, them, whoever, about the hottest new podcast covering the Atlanta Hawks. Share with fellow Hawks fans, NBA, basketball enthusiasts across the globe. Follow us at HoopBallHawks on Twitter. That is at HoopBallHawks. Follow myself, Brad Jarrett 67. That is Brad, J-A-R-R-E-T-T 67 on Twitter. And as always, yeah, we about to bounce back.